Greetings, everyone, all those who are here. Good to see you. It's a blessed day in the Lord, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. Maybe we can pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, now for what you're doing. Oh, Heavenly Father, you say that in Micah 2:7, Lord God, that do not my words do good to them that walk uprightly? Oh, Lord God, help us now to do just that, to obey your word, to seek after thee diligently, Lord God, with all our hearts, with all our strength, oh God. And I'll speak to you, Lord, now that you would speak to hearts and minds, those that are online, those that are here today, Lord God, now that you would walk the aisles of every heart, Lord, now. I pray, Lord, that you would move, oh Lord God, move in people's lives, do miracles, O Lord God. Cause people to believe your word. Cause people, Lord God, to rise up in strength. O Lord God, to do a mighty work for thee, Lord, in these end days. I pray now the blood of Jesus over each and every individual here, Lord God, over every mind, over every will and emotion, Lord God. Over every step, for you order our steps, Lord God, according to your perfect will, that your name be glorified, for that is the true purpose of our being here today. That your name be glorified, magnified. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, take over now today, Lord God, that your presence be here among the people. I pray, Lord God, a blessing upon everyone here today, Lord God. All those that are online, equally as though they were here yet with us. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. The Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is wonderful.
Praise you, Jesus.
And He is able to move mountains. Amen. He's able to do all things right, good, and well for you and me. Praise God. I'm hoping that we could start out today. We're going to sing, if you would follow me to 291 in the hymn book called Revive Us Again. But before we sing that song, I'm going to ask that you would sing the chorus with me first about having faith in God. If we could sing that song, Have Faith in God, that's on 39 in the chorus book, if you want to go there and follow along with that first. And then we'll go to Revive Us Again.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God who redeemed. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God.
Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord God, for this day, Father. O God, that you would receive the glory, the praise, and the honor of all men. Give us strength. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
Lord God.
Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. If we could go to 291 and sing that song, Revive Us Again. I just want to encourage people too, because you know, we still live in this earth, but we serve a mighty God. We serve a God who is not short, is not deaf, is not unwilling, but we serve a God who can both see, hear, and understand. He has the power and the ability to save, heal, and deliver. He has the ability to help us to live and to come up higher by faith. Because you see, what the Lord is looking for is people that will have faith in Him. He's looking for a people that will trust Him. When your backs are against the wall and you see no other solution to your problems, there is a God that you can go to and do miracles for you when you diligently seek after Him with all your heart. Did you know that?
Praise the Lord.
There are testimonies of miracle after miracle after miracle out there today, of those that have decided to trust God, and that they didn't walk in a faithless state when things got rough and tough for them. But they went before God and they lifted up their hands and they praised God and they reminded God of His Word and that they are still there and that they need His help. And they diligently sought after God's help, and the Lord came through time and time again. We serve that kind of God. He's the God of the impossible.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And I believe that the Lord knows how to revive our hearts to such a manner and such a state where that we become living examples of what a man and a woman who live in Christ should look like.
Praise
to a dying and dead world.
Thank you, God.
And the Lord wants us to rise up and be those kinds of people. The Lord wants us to rise up and be men and women of faith, children of faith. Oftentimes, children can lead the way
Praise the Lord.
Because of their simple faith in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go before God now. And let's just ask the Lord through this song to revive us again. Amen.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. Make soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, revive us again. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thy the glory, revive us again.
Glory to God. Amen. Praise the living God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for we're not here for ourselves, but we're here for you, Lord God. Oh, to give you the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Jesus, to receive faith and strength and hope. Oh, Lord God, that comes from you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, He can do anything.
Thank you, Lord.
He can do anything at all. I know that.
Thank you, God.
He can open His Word to our hearts. He can open His Word in our lives. Because, you see, it's His Word that lives.
Amen.
It's Jesus that is that Word. Amen. And if you fill your life and your heart with that Word, you fill your life with the Spirit of the living God.
Praise you, Jesus.
The more and more that you seek after the Lord and diligently read and pray His Word over your life, all things will work out to the good for those that love the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's a promise. It's a true promise. Did you know that there was a man that was in... I've been to Romania 4 times. And there's a man in Romania who was spreading the Word of God, and he didn't have a car, but he walked in the woods with his friend to bring Bibles to those in this communist nation, to those that needed the Word of God. He didn't have much money. He didn't have any water to drink, no food to eat, as they were on the road with these backpacks full of Bibles. They were walking in the middle of the woods. And one night they came across this deep... I don't know if you've ever been to Romania, but the mountains there are they're breathtaking. These deep gorges goes down miles. It seems like miles. But it goes down so far you can barely see. It gets dark down there. But the gorges go real deep. And as they were trying to find a way to cross that gorge, that bridge, it was an old rickety little bridge to pass over to the other side. Well, he decided to step out by faith because he had no way of getting across other than to go through that pass. As they began to step over, he realized he stepped on nothing but thin air. But he remembers that there was a solid hold on his feet as he took that walk, that step.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord.
When he stepped across, he looked back and there was nothing but thin air. But he walked across and the Lord held him up.
Praise the Lord.
And they began to walk through the woods and they were praying, asking the Lord, "We're hungry, Lord God. We had no food to eat in 3 days." And there he bumped into something as they were walking in the woods. And there, hanging from a tree, was a loaf of bread.
Praise the Lord.
Manna from heaven.
Praise the Lord.
And they had enough food to eat. These are things that happen to those who give way to the Spirit of God and walk in obedience to God's Word and do as the Lord says for them to do.
Praise the Lord.
When you step out in faith and you have that kind of faith walk with God, you have that kind of power, because the Lord will hear those prayers. He is close and nigh at hand to those that are of a contrite heart and spirit. Amen.
Amen.
People that walk humbly before God.
Praise the Lord.
And that put Him first. And that's what these men were doing. And glory to God That was a living testimony. But you see, all that to say this, that all of that was done so that the Lord would get the glory.
Amen.
So that the Lord would get all the praise and the honor. And that's why He does things in our lives today. So that we give Him the glory and the honor and the praise that He so deserves. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
It's not from our own doing. We can do nothing apart from God. But boy, do we need Him.
Amen. We do.
Amen.
Amen.
With that, I would ask that we could go to number 25 in the chorus book and sing that song, Let Go and Let God Have His Way. In other words, let go of all the crutches in your life. Let go of all the things that would hinder your walk in God. Let go of those things that hinders your prayers from being answered. And let God have His way. When you step out in faith and you believe God for answers in your life, He will not turn you away when you put Him first. He'll hear you. Let's sing that. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Oh, the Lord hears the hearts of those that sacrifice unto Him. Praises and thanksgiving and worshiping Him, the Lord hears that heart. Will you sacrifice unto the Lord? Will you be willing to give Him all the praise, glory, and the honor in your life and not be afraid to show it? Amen. By the way, you're very much encouraged and welcomed to raise your hands and say an amen or two now and again. Very much encouraged. And don't be afraid to do so, because you're not thanking me, you're praising God. The Lord is the one that you want to give praise and thanks to, amen? Because His word does not return void, amen? Amen.
Jesus, praise you, Lord.
So with that, we're going to praise God. We're going to take up tithes and offerings. And then we'll go ahead and pray and then get into the Word of God. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We worship you.
Amen.
Lord. Thank
God.
You, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, God.
Thank you, Lord God. If anybody has a testimony of any kind, please feel free to raise your hand. Anybody has anything that they want to share, please feel free to raise your hand. Edification, comfort, exhortation of any kind. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Amen. I just want to give thanks to God because He's the mountain mover. Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
The Lord knows how to move mountains out of your lives.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Will you let Him do it? Will you yield to the Lord? Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you now for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. We thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing. Help us, oh Lord God, now to be faithful and true stewards again, week after week, according to thy word, perfect will, and spirit, Lord God, under the blood and in the name of Jesus, that we would, oh Lord God, be good stewards of these tithes, gifts, and offerings to be used solely for your purpose and for your glory, oh God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Shirley. Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And the name of the message today, thank you, Sam, is called let me just make sure I got that covered. I wrote it down. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? That's the name of the message. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? In other words, we are washed by the water of the Word of God, aren't we? If I could ask you to follow me now to Leviticus chapter 8. If you could go there. Leviticus chapter 8 now in the King James Bible, if you have one. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter 2:5. And we ought to, as a royal priesthood, seek after God as men and women sanctioned to live for God, to obey His Word, to allow the Lord to transform our lives. Okay, praise God. Well, let's start now in chapter 8, verse 1. It goes on to say here now, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and a bullock for a sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread." Have you noticed so far that the Lord is requiring certain things of them? All they have to do is obey. It goes on to say in verse 3, "And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, there are no secret handshakes and no secret ceremonies going on, is there? The Lord calls all this into public view. Amen? Nothing's going on secretively behind closed doors. No one's cutting underhanded deals under the table. Amen? This is all the Word of God. The Word of God was written for all to read, know, and understand without partiality. And it says here in verse 4, "And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And the assembly was gathered together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now this is going to be a process of consecration that would begin with cleansing. Amen. "And Moses said unto the congregation, This is the thing which the Lord commanded be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat of girded with him, the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. Now, usually and typically, when they were washed by water, it was done by full immersion. And if you go to with me now, according to verse 7 here, quickly, I just want to go over to Revelation. Revelation 3:5 states, "And he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." In other words, this is a type and shadow of this clothing here. "And I will blot out his name out of the book of life. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Amen. Praise God. Amen. We have that promise. Amen. We have that promise from God. That's something that we can hope in. That's the hope of glory. And it goes on to say now here in verse 8, "And he put on the breastplate upon him. Also, he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put a mitre upon his head. Also upon the mitre, even upon his forehead, forefront. Did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses." This is a type of armor, the same as it would be found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. "And Moses took the anointing oil in the anointed tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all his vessels upon both the laver and his foot to sanctify them. He poured oil and he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him." Now, I just want to quickly go now to, if you would follow me to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. I have this marked. Thank God, because otherwise I would be searching forever trying to find the right pages. So I've got these marked. And it says here in verse 1, Psalm 133, 1 through 3. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious anointment upon the head that ran down the beard, down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Amen? Praise God for that. Because you see, that same anointing can be ours today. That same anointing oil, which signifies the presence and the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost. We need that anointing oil in our lives. And it goes on to say here now in verse 13, "And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the bullock for a sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for a sin offering." Did you know that when they laid their hands on that bullock, it was an act of transferring that sin in their lives to that bull as a sacrifice. When they laid their hands on the head of that bull, that was an act of that sin in their lives being transferred to that bull as a sin sacrifice. So I thought that that was interesting, and I knew that you would find it interesting. It goes on to say now in verse 15, "And he slew it, and Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and purified the altar, and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar, and sanctified it, to make reconciliation upon it." Oh, praise God for that reconciliation blood of Jesus on the cross. And it goes on to say here in verse 16, "And he took all the fat that was upon the innards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys and their fat, and Moses burned it upon the altar." But there's a reason for that burning. And then it goes on to say in 17, "But the bullock in his hide, his flesh and his dung, he burnt with fire without the camp, and as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram." In other words, there again, they were loading him, that ram, with the burden of their sin, signifying the acceptance as its substitute. It was the Lord accepting that sacrifice as a type and shadow of what would to come. And he killed it. Goes on to say here, "And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about." Oh, yeah.
Oh,
"And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat." Did you know that according to Ephesians 5:26, that we also have to have our inward parts renewed and washed? Cleansed. Because it says here in verse 21, "And he washed inwards of the legs in water, and Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor, and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses." Oh, praise God for that. Because here in Ephesians 5, we read here, "But we are to immerse ourselves in God's Word." It has that a cleansing effect as if we were baptized all over. It goes on to say here that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Back to Leviticus chapter 8. Praise God. "And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram." This was blood applied so as to hear, to walk, and to work with the evidence of God's sacrificial work in their lives. Did you hear that? "And he slew it, and Moses took the blood of it, and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot." All these signify that they would walk and show evidence of a renewal, walking in God's Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Walking, listening, and working, doing the work of God in their lives. "And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their feet, right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. And he took the fat and the rump and all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys and their fat, and the right shoulder. Now listen to this. In verse 26. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake and a cake of oiled bread. Oh boy, there's a lot of meaning in this. A life forgiven of sin and by oil meant governed by the Holy Ghost. That's what it means. With strength and victory. That's what the right shoulder meant. But let's read this. And he took one unleavened cake and a cake of oiled bread and one wafer and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hands and waved them for a wave offering. Oh, before the Lord.
Yes, praise you, Lord.
What did a wave offering mean? A life that was presented before God. One that was devoted and dedicated to live that kind of life of holiness and separation. To do a work for God and His glory. Amen. And when Moses, in verse 28, and Moses took them from off their hands. Now, I want to say something here too. That altar, that ancient altar of old, it meant a place of death. But it was made holy, and then it was consecrated by the blood of Christ. Amen. It was meant to be there so that there could be a new covenant. And it goes on to say here, and Moses took them from off their hands and burnt them on the altar upon the burnt offering. They were consecrations for a sweet savor. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. For of the ram of consecration, it was Moses' part, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, what this is talking about is that this is a place of death that was transformed into a place that would be set apart to bring life. And Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar. Now, there's a double anointing right there. The blood of Jesus cleanses, amen?
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost, which perfumes a sweet fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
And sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons. And upon his son's garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments, and his son's garments with him. In other words, he was clothed with the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
And Moses said unto Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle. Oh boy. Oh, praise God. Now this is going to get real interesting here. And the tabernacle of the congregation. And there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecrations. Eating the bread means having that close communion with God. Did you know that? And it goes on to say, saying, Aaron and his son shall eat it. In verse 32. Oh, praise God. God wants our relationship with Him to be fresh every day, doesn't He?
Right. Amen.
fresh and renewed. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. He wants our fellowship with Him to be sweet and renewed. But let's read 32. And that which remaineth of the flesh and of the bread shall ye burn with fire. In other words, don't bring in the old, bring in the new. Whatever remains, hey, that was yesterday's. Amen? That was what was for yesterday. That was what was for last week. But yet His promises are new. His promises are forever. He changeth not. Amen? We have His promises from the beginning, even until now. But what the Lord is doing in your life, He does a new thing. Amen? And ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall He consecrate you. In other words, that's that abiding relationship. You abide with Christ. Those 7 days, seven means complete. Abide with Him until you feel His presence. Pray until you feel that peace and joy in your life. Amen?
Amen?
Don't go out that door without God. Don't leave home without Him. Amen?
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
It goes on to say, and He hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. And it goes on to say, now that was in verse 34. It goes on to say in verse 35 here, therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that ye die not, for so I am commanded. You see, we die spiritually when we're not connected to the vine. We need that connection to the vine, to the good vine. Amen? We need that spiritual connection every day. That's where we get our nourishment. That's how we live. And when we fill our lives with the Word of God, we abide in the tabernacle. It's a type and shadow of what it means to abide with Christ. Abiding with the Lord every day in word, through prayer, in spirit. Asking the Lord to renew you day, by the renewing of your mind, by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And they were spiritually fed and sustained. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. To transform that place of death into a place that brings life. Amen? Let's go to Psalm 84, if you would. Just go there with me, Psalm 84. I just want to read 1 through 7. You remember what happened with Hezekiah. But here we have the psalmist. It goes on to say in verse 1, 84, verse 1. And I'll probably just go 1 through 7 here. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You remember what happened in Hezekiah's life and Sennacherib, whatever his name is. How do you say that?
Sennacherib,
thank you. And how that he came and he was reproaching the living God. and how that he came against Hezekiah, and Hezekiah received the letter and laid flat, prostrate before God, laid that letter out before the living God. And he went before God in earnest prayer. Oh, according to Isaiah 37:17. And the courts in heaven were opened. Amen. And God heard that prayer for Hezekiah. Oh, praise God. The courts of the tabernacle were opened to the prayers of the righteous who diligently seek after him. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Is the Lord also your King? Is he the Lord of everything in your life? Is he also your God? Do you go to him for everything? Do you look to him with great reverence and respect unto his word, for his spirit to come upon you? Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. You see, because these are the people that have laid prostrate before God and spent time praying to God. Spent time abiding in the Lord, seeking after God's presence, that stillness, that still small voice, until they felt that victory and peace come over them. Amen? Because you see, it's not the things that you see that count, it's what you don't see that counts. You may not see the promises of God evidenced in your life right away. Not until you start praying. Amen. Amen. That's what God, the Lord is looking for, that kind of a man and woman who will reach out to God with a heart of consecration, with a heart lifted up, seeking after God and what the Lord would do in that life. In other words, if the Lord hadn't opened a door for you to go somewhere or do something, don't go and don't do it. But stay in the Lord's presence until he opens the right door for you. Stay in the Lord's presence until you find that peace and joy. And when you find that peace and joy, and you find that presence, then you can go with confidence and the hope that will be with you all the day long. And then when you have things come against you, the world, sin, death, and hell, surrounding you, trying to tempt you to be a man and woman of unbelief and be faithless. You see, that's what we come up against every day. But the Lord is looking for a people who, like Hezekiah, will go before God when all seems helpless and hopeless. And God will answer that prayer the way he sees fit. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Becca, make it a well of rain, also filleth the pools, oh praise God. See, they pass through, as it speaks of here in Psalms 84, the valley of weeping and mourning, and to a place of springs, and joy, and peace, and God's abiding presence. Amen? It goes on to say in verse 7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them, to Zion appeareth before God. Amen and amen. Why don't we just go to, follow me to 119, Psalm 119 now. Praise God. Because here, as we've been alluding to, out of the heart are the issues of all life matters. Amen? The only way that could be cleansed is by a clean heart. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his ways? You renew your heart by the washing and renewing of the Word of God. Amen. Because you see in John 15:3, it says that now, let me see if I got a John 15:3. Let's just go there. I don't remember. I remember the words, but not verbatim. 3. Bear with me. 15:3. Because here, in 15:3, here it is. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Did you see that? Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. It says here in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Isn't that right? So we have proof right here that the precious Word of God. So let's read here in verse 9, Psalm 119. It goes on to say, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, praise God. This sets our hope by the promises found in 2 Corinthians 7:1. And bear with me. I'm just going to skip over there real quick and read that. You don't have to turn if you don't want to, but if you want to, feel free. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. Oh, thus is restored the crown of righteousness. Oh, praise God. The Lord knows how to stamp His approval upon someone. When you make your way holy before Him, and you live holy and clean, now in verse 10, oh, praise God. I'll probably go to another verse here too now. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Oh, I'm reminded of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. Here it is. Verse 11. Maybe even 12, maybe 13 too. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. What does it say in verse 13? And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. There's always a peculiar dread of wandering out of the way to them that know God, isn't there? But the one that knows God and seeks to know God wants to earnestly follow, faithful to the end. wants to be in the Lord's presence, abiding presence all the day long. What does it say in verse 11 here now of Psalm 119? It goes on to say, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, oh, that I might not sin against thee." Oh, praise God. Proverbs chapter 3 talks about that. Oh, Lord. I believe 21 here. Proverbs 3:21 says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." You see why? Because the words of God will be a lamp unto our feet. Amen? We won't stumble in the dark. Praise God. In verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Oh, praise God. All the judgments. "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." You see, the narrow way of the cross, we know is difficult, isn't it? But as we're going to read here in verse 15, only the true sheep of God will be able to enter and find pasture and find rest for their weary souls. Amen. What does it say in 15? "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Oh, that's like being hid under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. To feel that the Lord's protection and peace and joy. You will not forget His ways because you fear Him. You will not forget His word because it's in your heart to do so. To believe and to glorify God. And to come unto Him because you say that you believe in the word of God. You know that it's the Spirit of God. Because Jesus is that word. Amen? Why don't we go to Romans. Romans chapter 12. Just a few verses there. You see, most people live based on feelings, and that's not what we ought to be living and how we should live. How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my wife, if you have one, or a husband? How do I feel about the church I'm going to? How can we know the powerful, transforming, renewing way of God? It says here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy." Did you see that word holy? "Acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, how can you know God's will unless you're in His Word? unless you're reading the Word of God for your life.
Right.
Because the Word of God is there for you to apply it to your own life.
Right.
Amen? If the promises of God are found written in this Word, you can take the Word of God and apply it to your life. In any situation you're in. Amen? And you don't have to worry, fret, and fear about your life and the things that are going on in your life. You might have a tough situation. You might be going through tough times. You might feel that all you can do is complain, murmur, and speak against your living situation. But you see, it's those that learn how to give God the glory and thanksgiving and praise and the honor through it all that become those who walk by faith and are victorious and overcome. Because again, you are renewed by the transformation in your own mind, by the renewing of the water of the Word of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 now, if you would. Acts chapter 2. Starting, I guess, would be in verse 25. You see, apart from Christ, there is neither rest nor hope. Apart from His Word, He is that. That's where we receive our guidance, leading, by going to God's Word, by being renewed by the water of the Word of God. We find strength and hope and power through His Word, through His Spirit. So we can become dead to the things that are in this earth. The temptations, death and sin that follow. What does it say here in verse 25? For David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For He is on my right hand. I should not be moved. That's for every one of us. Friend, if you're going through a difficult time, you're going through a struggle right now, you don't have to be moved by circumstances. When you just begin to pray and believe God for a miracle, He is the God of miracles.
Amen.
He is the mover of mountains in your life. Amen? Therefore, did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. In other words, the Lord knows how to give His people rest. But you see, in hell, there is neither rest or hope. In hell. Therefore, we ought to make our calling and election sure. To make sure we're walking in the way. Because in hell, there are no second chances and there is no rest for the weary soul. There is no hope of ever getting out. But Jesus gives us hope. He gives us that pasture to find rest and hope and renewal. When we are in the abiding presence of His Word. Every day. Amen?
Amen.
When we are being fed by His Spirit, which is also the Word of God. Amen? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell.
Praise you, God.
Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Amen?
Amen.
According to Revelations 1:18. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Oh, you remember now the countenance of Moses. How that he came down that mountain, spending all that time with God himself. And that countenance that he would later speak of in Deuteronomy. And how that he came down that mountain, his face glowed with the glory of God because he was in his presence. Amen?
That's right.
Is that not written for today? Yes, it is. Absolutely. But people need to fight for their time with God. Diligently seek after him with all your heart. Spend time with the Lord while there is still yet a little time left. Amen?
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Oh, it goes on to say here, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. In other words, through that line, through that lineage, came the Lord. Amen? Through that bloodline. Oh, praise God. How that the Lord uses the weak and the feeble things of this world to give victory and grace and mercy and hope. Amen? Where he moves mountains for those who haven't the faintest idea or clue how to do anything at all. For we already know that apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. That's why when those that go out in the world and do their own thing without spending time before God in the mornings are going to be completely frustrated day in and day out. There will be no hope. Because you're always going to find something wrong instead of what's right. And the Lord is looking for people that would spend that time so that the Lord can order their footsteps for that day.
Amen.
When you give God place, when you give place in your heart and in your life to spend time with God every morning, afternoon or evening, you'll find that the Lord will move mountains for you. Okay, goes on to say here, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Amen. The Lord didn't hang on that cross. He's not still there. He rose. We have the victory because he has the victory. And because he has the victory over sin, death, and hell, we do too. Because if we feed in that pasture of life, he gives that life in us. He breathes that life in our lungs, in our life, to breathe, to live, to dwell, to abide in that living pasture.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Where he gives us rest and hope for our souls. Amen? Oh, it goes on to say, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. In other words, what that's saying to us is that you might be going through a difficult time, but you don't have to be left in that state. You don't have to stay there in that miserable state. You can be delivered and set free. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise God. And it goes on to say here in verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, did you see that? And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Peter, who once denied Christ, who at one point was in the flesh, who had followed the Lord but yet was not yet converted. How many churches are full of people who had gone to church but are not yet converted? Amen. Oh Lord, but he gives us that hope to be converted.
Amen.
If you are not yet converted, the Lord can help you. He can lead you to that pasture. He can lead you to the place of where there is milk and honey. Amen?
Amen.
Where there is that richness of his Spirit, the milk of his Word, the bread of his life, living through and through by the strength of his Spirit. Not by my might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Now Peter, who is now encouraging these many people, as the Lord told him he would. The word of God does not return void. Amen? And it won't return void in your life if you apply it to your own life. It goes on to say, and I'll just read 34 again here. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith to himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. You see, the Lord doesn't do anything halfway. The Lord wants us to be fully delivered, to have full victory over the enemy in our lives. You don't have to walk in squalor. You don't have to sit behind walls and peek through the corner, through the little holes to see if the enemy is cleared. You can have the boldness of God and pray and believe God, like Elijah. He called fire from heaven. You can do the same. God will give you that power and strength. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Now is he the Lord of your life? Is he also your Christ?
Hallelujah.
Peter was saying, you were all wrong to these people. You were all wrong about who Jesus was. You thought you were getting rid of somebody who was a blasphemer. But little did you know, through your own ignorance and through the flesh, until the Lord sheds abroad the light of his word upon your life, opens blind eyes and opens deaf ears, are people able to see, know, and hear the truth. Amen? Oh, praise God. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? There must have been a great cry that day. That great cry of hopelessness, of that pricking in their hearts to know that what they did was all wrong. What they thought they did was right turned out to be completely the opposite. You ever make a mistake like that in your life where you thought you did what you were doing was right only to find out that what you did was completely the opposite of what you had meant it to be? That's what happens when we make mistakes in the flesh. That's what happens when we get ahead of God. That's what happens when we do things apart from His Spirit. When we do things, we think we want to do this or do that. We want to run ahead of God or I don't know, whatever the case might be in your life. Whether it's a financial thing or a physical thing or a spiritual matter. Or say you have something against somebody, you want to take revenge or whatever. You know, but the Lord knows how to exact revenge. Leave it in God's hands. Amen? The Lord knows how to take care of matters that you know nothing about. People think that they know better than God how to handle matters of life, and they really don't. In fact, the more I grow, the more I realize I know nothing at all. The older I get. Amen? It goes on to say here now, in verse 38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, but it says here, For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive, did it say you might? It says ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, if you want the Holy Ghost, you've got to get before God and believe God and say, Lord, this is the promise that you gave in your word. And Lord, just receive it. Receive the Holy Ghost. And ask God to start using you, to speak through you, to speak through His Word, to confirm. Don't sit there being faithless. You've got to believe God at His Word. And believe and trust. And walk in faith, like that man I talked about earlier. As he crossed that gorge and how the Lord held his feet up. Amen. For the promise is unto you. Did you see that? And unto your children. That's you. Right there. See, right in front of you. Those that are sitting beside you, but behind you, in front of you. All those that are online at your computer. It's for you. It goes on to say here, and to all that are afar off. You see the sword of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, will bring conviction to your heart if you do something wrong. Or He'll show you that there's something not right in your life. Maybe you're lacking this or you're lacking that. Maybe you don't have power in your life. Or maybe you don't spend time in prayer like you should. Maybe you let the life's worries just take over. And you don't have any time for God. And you think that you don't have time for God. Therefore, you get carried away. Into the winds of confusion. Because you see, if you don't let God order your footsteps, it will be confusion. If you don't let God take control of your life, now, every day, then you will be wandering. You'll be doing things in the flesh. And the Lord instructs us to spend time in His Word. by the washing and renewing of the reading of the Word of God. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call, says here. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You remember that happened with Moses. Save yourselves, all those who are on the Lord's side. Whose side are you on? You kind of prove it by the way you live, don't you? You kind of prove it by the way you live at home when nobody else sees you, when nobody else knows anything about you but God. And when you can say with a clear conscience that the Lord is truly my God, He is my Lord and my Savior. He saved me from those old habits of sin, death, and hell. Old things I used to do, think, and say. Hey, then you can stake that claim. You can go to God and say, Lord, this is what your word says. You could say, Father God. You can call him Father because he is your Father.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah, praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
It goes on to say, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, did you see that? Were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's pretty quick, pretty dramatic. From that day of Pentecost, which was just right there the day before, or that day, they went out and another 3,000 souls were saved. That's pretty convincing. But you see, that's not just for them, that's for now. It's not just mere words that are being read out of a book. This is the Bible, the word, true words of God, the very words of God that we'll be judged out of. So repenting from sin means to have a change of heart and a change of attitude towards things that you used to do. That's what that means. What shall we do? What shall we do? How do we do that? Ask God to give you godly sorrow unto godly repentance. Amen?
Amen.
Not sorrow from the world's point of view, but godly sorrow. Sorrow from the world brings death. Godly sorrow brings repentance. So in other words, you cannot turn to God unless you turn against those things that Christ is against. You've got to turn against those very same things that God hates. Ask the Lord to renew your mind by the watering of the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his ways? Amen. It's found right there. By the renewing of the Word of God in your life, you renew your mind, your heart. Pretty soon your whole attitude changes. Because you're confessing the words of God in your life, your attitude towards other people will change. You'll actually love somebody else. You'll actually be kind and friendly towards another. Amen? Isn't that elementary, basic Christianity? And the Lord wants us to get from point A to point B. We don't have to stay there. We can come up higher. God commands it in His Word. If we are to find life, if you are to find that peace and joy, then we must obey the Word of God. We must apply it to our lives. Renew our minds. Renew our hearts by the washing of the water of the Word of God. That's how we'll That's how a man will cleanse his way. Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope that helped somebody today. As I was out in the garage, that's my little office out there. I don't have an office with a phone and carpet, and I have none of that. My office is out there where I just do woodwork and I pray. That's all. That's all I need. I'm not looking for anything else. But as I was praying, I was asking the Lord to help these people, that His word would not return void, that these people, that whoever would hear this word would be encouraged and strengthened to come up higher, that their lives would be renewed and restored, bringing forth fruit, meat under repentance, bringing forth hope, love, peace, and joy, the fruits of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, perhaps now we could go to a song here in closing. Well, let's just go. Let's just go to an old favorite that I love. I've always liked this, even since I was a kid. It's called "I Need Thee Every Hour." 163 in the hymn book. In the hymn book. And if we could go there, because we do need the Lord every hour. We need His Word living in us. Amen. Every hour of every day.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Be dismissed unto prayer, and please do spend time in prayer. Please pray. Amen.
that you brought.